Either. You're listening to Eaters.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Warithu. Al-Warithu means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the inheritor. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything belongs to Him and He is in complete ownership to everything that you see. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-warith, the supreme inheritor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants from the people of Iman to inherit something which is the highest level, the highest abode in the hereafter. And that is Jannatul Firdaus. A man in his life should have a very high aim. And this is taught to us too in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, that when you ask for Jannah, don't just ask for Jannah, but when you ask for Jannah, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. So aim very, very high. And alhamdulillah, for a person to enter into Jannatul Firdaus, there are only 6 steps. How many steps there are? 6 levels. And these steps are not also very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. Allah does not burden anyone more than his capacity. Allah has not said that you have to climb Mount Everest or move the mountain from this side to another side. Very simple instructions that it is easy for a man to do if he wants to commit himself. When a person wants to commit himself, he can even become hafiz of the Quran at the age of 60. If he wants to commit. Commitment and intention is very, very powerful, mashallah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first step, the first task for a person who wants Jannatul Firdaus, we covered this, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that they have to be very regular in their salah, in a sense that when they perform their salah, there is khashiyat. And they have this deep understanding when they are performing salah, and the level of concentration is also very intense. They understand when they say Allahu Akbar that we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be that he is just performing salah like an exercise, standing up, going into ruku, stand up again, go into sajda, dive into sajda, very quickly make salam and that's it, go. No, he must enjoy his salah. He must actually make his salah into an event. That is why we also do wudu. We want to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Bari ta'ala, we didn't come unprepared. We are making all preparations for this. Just like when a person goes to a wedding function, he will put on his best clothes. He will put on the right clothes. He will put on perfume, attar. For every occasion he will want to dress up. And so the greatest function and meeting is when a person meets and communicates with his Maker. And for that meeting there should also be preparation. And so the preparation is that he's going to gargle the mouth, rinse the nose properly, wash the face, wash the hands, do wudu completely, and then he comes. And then just to boost himself slowly to that level of concentration, he might want to just perform his sunnah namaz or tahiyatul masjid. And then when he says Allahu Akbar, he is in that drive, in that mode. So number one, your salah must be to that level. Number two, وَالَّذِينَ هُمَ عَنِ اللَّهْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that a person should abstain from useless speech, useless speech, useless activities. Something that is not going to benefit him in this world, something that is not going to benefit him in the hereafter. In fact, if nothing, it might harm him and it might be a means of destruction and it might throw him in Jahannam. So a person really needs to look after his tongue. A person really needs to look after his. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that whatever comes out from the tongue, it will burden him. What will it do? It will burden him. 50 years two brothers are not talking. How many years? 50 years two brothers are not talking. Are bhai, itne saal, 50 years. What happened? Oh, 50 years ago my brother said this to me. Imagine. 50 years ago my brother said this to me. Now 50 years ago a statement that might have been uttered, he is still holding it against him. It's from shaitan. It's from shaitan. Allahu Akbar. And so we have to be very, very careful. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, and even the Quran speaks out, that there are bodyguards that are protecting this very small, mashallah, organ. How many bodyguards there are? 32. How many bodyguards? No other organ has got bodyguards. Right, Kerong Umar sahab? Yeah. Umar said, yes, it's fine. 32 bodyguards. Dekhe. And it is the most dangerous. In such a way that at times, most of the times, it is also invisible. You can't even see it. You can't even see it. It's hiding inside. Wo sam ki tara zaban nahi hai ki wo bahir nikalti hai. Theek hai? It's inside. So Allah has given it bodyguards. It is protected inside. And there are two gates. There are two gates. The two gates are the lips. That is why in the hadith it comes, man samata naja, to stay quiet, that is the best option. What is it? That is generally the best option. Obviously it's not a rule as such that you have to. Sometimes you have to speak, and you have to speak, that is the best option. But generally what the Quran is saying, lahwa, things that have no purpose in life. You are doing ghibat, you are slandering, you are swearing, you are accusing, you are doing all that. To abstain from all that. Look after your tongue. The person who can look after his tongue, he is the greatest person. The greatest person. I'm sure many of you have sat in the company of pious people. I have also had the company, opportunity to sit in the company of pious people. And most of the people I have seen, mashallah, for them it was just sitting in complete silence. What is it? Complete silence. And so to abstain from useless speech. So number one is your salah. Number two is to look after your tongue. Useless speech. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. And then to make sure that what is due, the wealth that Allah has given us. Zakat is farz. Zakat is farz. But not just zakat. Generally, a person in Islam hoarding your wealth is haram. What is it? Keeping it is not jais. That there should always be some kind of a transfer, a movement that takes place. This is a sign that this man is attached to the hereafter. What is it? Attached to the hereafter. And so the wealth that Allah gives, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, they are also giving where it is due and necessary. So that is why you will find a Muslim is a very generous individual. Musalman ka jo dil hai, nobody can match a Muslim when it comes to generosity. Alhamdulillah. Generally Muslims are very, very generous people. And then level 4, the Quran speaks. Remember, there are 6 levels for a person to enter Jannatul Firdaus. That is the promise of Allah in Suratul Mu'minun, the beginning part of the 18th chapter. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of something which is personal to everybody. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks because this is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. And they are those people who guard their private parts. What do they do? They guard their private parts. This is level 4. Your salah, abstain from useless speech, useless activities. Make sure the wealth that Allah gives you, you have to give zakat and also give additional extra sadaqat and khairat that you should give. And number 4, what is very important, is safeguarding your chastity. Look after yourself. This is very, very important. It is only difficult because we think that this is very, very difficult. But if a person makes dua and he is adamant that he wants to protect himself, then inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sure will also assist him. Now, in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, Allah is saying, of course, that every man has got shahwat. Shahwat means desire. When a child becomes baligh, reaches the age of puberty, then obviously slowly as he is growing up, there is always this desire that is inside a human being which is natural. And Sharia does not say that you can't fulfill your desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you can fulfill your desire because these are the parts that Allah has given you. You can fulfill your desire, illa ala azwajihim, only in the lawful way, and that is that you get married. If it is a woman, she has to marry a man. If it is a man, she has to marry a woman. Only in nikah. If you fulfill your khaish, whilst you are in that state of being married, then alhamdulillah, it is completely jais. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنِ بَتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ. Now if someone is going to fulfill his shahwat, lust or desire outside the parameters and the hudud of nikah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, then this man is an open transgressor. This is transgression. This is guna that a person is committing himself into. So a person really needs to be very, very careful. And the reason why you will find that this injunction of nikah is very, very important is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to see harm given to anybody. Harm given to anybody. Many a times you will find that people are not married, but they have this relationship. Subhanallah, there is no rahmat, there is no barakat in that relationship. And then after a while, what happens is that you might find that this person now will go away. And then what happens to you? So Sharia, Islam, looks after each individual. If there is a person who is showing you love, attention, who seems to care for you and opening his emotions to you, and he's taking that extra measure, then that relationship should be sealed in the form of nikah to actually see if that person is sincere or not. To actually see if that lady is sincere or not. Sincerity will only be visible when there is nikah. And the barakat of nikah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hadiya to two people when they get married. The first hadiya is given by who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally when a man gets married, then the man has to give mahar. He has to give. This is also hadiya. But then even before the mahar, a hadiya is given to two people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this in Surah Rum. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And from amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah has created for you wives from amongst yourselves. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may receive tranquility, so that you may receive sukoon, you may get sukoon, tranquility. And then Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمًا. And then Allah creates for the two of you mawadda, as in love and mercy. What Allah gives you? مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So the minute the nikah is taking place, when the imam is reading the khutbah, when he is reading the ayats of the Quran and the hadith, this hadiya of Allah is being instilled in their hearts. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now putting rahmat, mercy, and the love for each other in their hearts. Subhanallah. And this is great sign. 5-10 minutes ago, when you were not married to this person, if she fell down, it was okay. Well, as a human being, how are you? Okay, laga, chot to nahi laga. But the minute you get married to that person, now your heart goes somewhere else. Oh, are you okay? You'll pick her up and you'll do everything for her. All of a sudden, someone who you didn't know, but now it is a nikah that takes place, now you want to take care. Now you were such a stingy man that you were not prepared to part with your wealth with anybody. Now all of a sudden this lady comes and she says, I want a dress. I want a dress. Then you say, well, not one dress. 5 dresses I will buy for you. Are wa, tu itna kanjus tha? Not one dress. How many dresses? 5. She gets happy. People are shocked. Oh ho ho. What did this lady do? It's not what this lady did. It is what Allah did. It is what Allah did. Allah opened the heart of that person. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That is why there is a lot of emphasis when it comes to nikah, because there is great barakat. When you look at the laws of Islam, outwardly it may seem a bit strict. It seems strict in the modern world, because the modern world you will find people have become immoral. What is it? Immoral. Otherwise, in Islam, there is no such law that you will consider as to be very strict. It is only designed to benefit us. So for an example, in Islam, you will see that there is no intermingling with the opposite gender. And so you will see that men are on one side, women are on one side. Now, this safeguarding is a source of rahmat. What is it? Is a source of rahmat. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission, and if every one of us was challenged by our nafs, lust and desire and our ego, that it is okay, you just take care of your nafs and your ego and look after yourself, most of the people would fall. But it is Allah's infinite mercy that Allah knows the weakness of insan, so Allah has placed obstacles. Allah has placed obstacles. Why? Just to help you and assist you. Just to help you and to assist you. That already you will see that, you know, men are on one side, women are on the other side. That has already helped you. You will wear your sunnah libas, and you have your beard, and you wear a topi. Even if shaitan wants to bring the thoughts of zina inside you, but when you go outside and you look at yourself, you feel you are trapped. Oh, look at me, how I am dressed up. You know, this does not suit me. You will feel guilty yourself. A person himself will want to stop. And there is, of course, segregation, and a lady can't travel without a mahram. People make this a very big issue. People make this a very big issue. I was reading an article, Mufti Meng Saab, he was supposed to, he goes to Malaysia, and Singapore government has banned him from coming. Singapore government banned him. So they said in one of his lectures, he said that for a Muslim it is not permissible for him to greet another person in their festivities and to greet them with their religious rituals. Like to say, oh, Merry Christmas to you, and bhai, enjoy your Diwali and Happy Diwali and things like that. He might have said that. So in Singapore, what they have said is that, you know, it's a free country and, you know, we like to celebrate every religion. But what you don't understand is that when you bar people like Mufti Mank and good scholars that are out there, then what will happen is that you will also see others that are not to that level. In fact, what you are aiming for, that there should be peace and harmony everywhere, is when you allow these scholars to come, because they preach about peace and harmony. What do? They preach about peace and harmony. But a person does not understand the Islamic rules, the Islamic injunctions. So we had a lady who came to visit us from one school, and she asked me that, you know, I've seen many mosques, this and that, men pray here, women pray here, this and that. She asked me many questions. The students were not interested. By the fazl of Allah, I answered all of her questions. And then she said to me, you know what, Imam, I've been to many, many Muslims, and I've been to many, many mosques, but nobody has given me the answers that you have given me. I am completely satisfied. In fact, there is no religion like Islam. Now, I'm not praising myself, Allahu Akbar, falillahil hamd, falillahil. They are shuyukh, they are greater people than me, myself. But what I'm saying is that every one of us has an opportunity. And when we educate people in the right way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open their hearts. Allah will open their hearts, because they don't know this. So this is a source of rahmat. If Allah is saying a woman cannot travel alone, you might take another twist. You might say, oh, look at that, you know, Isabella and Elizabeth, they travel the world alone, but Khadija Ben and Fatma Ben, bichara, they can't travel anyway. Hey, let us not mock the kalam of Allah. This is a source of mercy. What is it? It is a source of mercy. Islam is the only religion today that will give you the solution and will put a closure to the very high divorce rate. Why is this very high divorce rate? Because there is no segregation. Two friends, now can you imagine a scenario? Let's be a bit open so people understand. Can you imagine that your mom, your sister and your wife and your daughter go to the beach, and they have no iman, and they are completely naked. So now the third person, the cousin, the nephews, everybody that is there, now shaitan knows that your eyes are like camera. What is it? The eyes are the camera. The first image is whatever you see, it is recorded. It flashes, it catches, it flashes, it catches. Now a son is looking at the body of the mother. Oh, my mom has got this figure. Oh, my sister has got this figure. I didn't know that. Oh, my brother's wife looks like this. Now, tell me, is this morality? Is this haya? Is this haya? And Islam says no, Islam wants to curb everything. There are rules and regulations. So you've got to really open up and you've got to really explain things, my brothers. And subhanallah, you will see Islam is the only solution for illegitimate children that are out there. People that are confused, people that are on drugs, people that have no connection with their society, with parents, with everything. Why? Because once the shaitan has taken you and pulls you towards the world of sins, then you're a loser, then you lose everything, then you don't understand anything. But Islam gives you hidayat, and Islam is so beautiful that it even allows you to enjoy and to seek pleasure, but in the right way. But in the right way. So that is why the Quran is saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. You know, somebody asks a sheikh, that is it okay for me that I've got on my Facebook female friends and that I talk to, and I have a lot of ladies that are on my group also, Facebook, whatever. Mere paas to nahi, I'm just saying whatever, however it works. So the sheikh said to him, yeah, no problem. You are asking me whether that is jais or not. So it should be jais if you can allow your wife also to be on Facebook of ghair mahram, and let your daughter be also with ghair mahram, and let your sister be with ghair mahram. And he got angry. No, no, my wife. Are bhai, your wife you want to protect, your daughter you want to protect, huh? Your sister you want to protect, but you as a man, you think you're free, you can talk to any Tom, Dick and Harry and anybody. Jisse baat karni ho tum karo. So Islam, subhanallah, is there, my respected brothers, to guard us. And remember, in this dunya, how long are we going to live for? 70, 80, 90. Somebody touches 100, very few. You'll get a card from the queen telling you, happy birthday, if you're going to reach 100, right? But, subhanallah, Allah is promising us that you do a bit of qurbani here, a bit of qurbani, I will give you Jannatul Firdaus. I will give you whatever you desire. Everything infinitely, eternally you will enjoy. But just a bit of sacrifice. Because this dunya is a platform in which I need to test you. Allah, why are you going to test us? But this is not for you to question. I am your Khaliq. I have created you. I am testing you because I want to give you something that is the best, and that is Jannatul Firdaus. Now there is one very beautiful example in the Quran in Surah Maryam. Jibreel alayhi salam, when he would come in front of people, very often, obviously you can't actually see the angel in his original form. Anbiya have seen him, Huzur alayhi salam saw him. He came in front of Maryam alayhi salam. He came in front of Maryam. She was shocked. She was shocked all of a sudden from nowhere. This very handsome man. Now, angels are the pure creation of Allah. And when he would come in the form of a man, it is said that he would often come in the form of a man whose name was Dahya Kalbi. Dahya Kalbi, who is considered to be the Yusuf of this Ummah. The Yusuf of this Ummah. Sahabi, very handsome. Sahabi was very handsome. Very clean, very handsome. So now, Maryam alayhi salam is in her teens. Maryam alayhi salam is in her teens. Very young girl. The mother of Isa alayhi salam, in her teens. And then all of a sudden, Jibreel alayhi salam, very handsome man, comes and stands. Oh ho, subhanallah. Now look at the chastity. This is something that we learn. She turned around and she saw a man. She turned around and she saw a man. Nowadays, you know, women say, you don't look like Salman Khan. What are you? What are you? You don't look like Salman Khan. What are you? Are bhai? Forget your Salman Khans and all your Khans and all these celebrities and your football players and everything. Allahu Akbar. One should be loyal to each other. One should be loyal to a person should even be shy and should be bashful and should have haya to take the name of a ghair mahram in front of the husband. You are actually killing that relationship otherwise. You have to be very, very careful. And so, this lady sees this handsome man. Look at the words of Maryam alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. الله أكبر. And she says, I seek refuge in the most merciful one. إني أعوذ بالرحمن. I seek refuge in Rahman. I seek refuge in Rahman from you. So what she is trying to say, leave immediately, in kunta taqiyya, if you have any kind of fear of Allah in your heart. Look at the words of Maryam alayhi salam. Not even for 1 second did she want to allow her inner thoughts to be impure. Not even for 1 second did she want the heart and her inner thoughts to be impure. So immediately she's saying, go from here. In kunta taqiyya. Jibreel alayhi salam was shocked. And then he said, no, innama ana rasoolu rabbik, you know, I am here. You are getting it all wrong, Maryam. I am not a man. I am not a human being. I am an angel. I am Jibreel that comes to you for your ease in the form of a human being. But it is said that the haya of Maryam alayhi salam was such that she could not even look in front of Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam had to change his form from a human being to his original form. And only Allah knows what he stood there as, but pure noor, just to satisfy Maryam alayhi salam. Just to satisfy Maryam alayhi salam. And so these are beautiful, beautiful injunctions. My respected brothers and elders, we should not think that the laws of Islam are not applicable to us today in this modern world. No, no. In fact, in this modern world, it is really applicable. And you have to make sure that, alhamdulillah, we value what the Quran tells us. So we have to safeguard. The reason why it is difficult for us to safeguard our private parts is because there is a lot of behayai outside. It's not our fault. We try to do it. But the minute you go out, you will see that we are living in Darul Kufr. Where are we living in? Darul Kufr. And in Darul Kufr, you will find other people that when you look at them, they are like all naked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And so nikah, there is barakat in there. Nikah, there is. All of the laws of Islam are there to safeguard all human beings. Now somebody might say, well, you know what, I'm married to my wife, I'm married, and a lady listening at home might say, well, my husband, I can't see no love that Allah has put in his heart, I can't see no rahmat, mawaddat. Then let me relate to you one story that is coming to my mind. You know, everything we have to do. If you are told to make chai, if you do chai properly, everybody will drink it. But if you put 10 teaspoons of sugar, who's going to drink it? It becomes a milkshake. What does it become? Milkshake. And then, if we blame this on somebody else and not ourselves, then this is not right. We have to blame ourselves also. Maulana Sulaiman Choksi, I was reading this article, and Maulana Muhammad Patel Saab's son was getting married, so an invite came for Maulana Sulaiman Choksi. So Maulana Sulaiman Choksi in Africa, you know, when you're traveling, so Hazrat said, let me buy a gift for Maulana, I'm going to see him and his son is getting married. So on the roads you have a lot of people in Africa, people selling fruits. So there was somebody there with a pineapple. So the pineapple was there, and Sheikh said, stop, let's buy some pineapple. And so Hazrat bought this big pineapple and said, we'll give this as a gift. So anyway, Khair, to cut things short, they went to the house, and it was time for nikah, and Maulana Muhammad Patel Saab said, Maulana Sulaiman Saab, you know, if you can do the bayan. So Hazrat said, okay, I will do the bayan. So he said to the driver, bring that pineapple. Bring that pineapple. And he put the pineapple in the masjid in front of the people. He says, I want all of you to look at the pineapple. This is my bayan. This is my bayan. All of you look at the pineapple. So everybody now started looking at the pineapple as if they can't, as if they've never seen a pineapple. It must be some kind of a special pineapple. So it's the pineapple that you see everywhere. So this is the pineapple. So Hazrat said, you see, now I want to eat this pineapple. So he said to one of the khadims that was there, you know, I want you to serve me the pineapple. So pineapple has got thorns and this rough skin, and so it was cut from the outside and everything was cut nicely, and then it was sliced and then it was presented and everybody was eating and it was very, very sweet. And aapke muh mein pani to nahi aa raha. You might be thinking I should bring a pineapple. I can do it next time if you want. I should have, you know. I'm not sure if you can find pineapple right now. But in the season I'll bring mangoes for you. See? So Hazrat said, you see, every human being has got thorns and roughness like this pineapple. When two people get married, if you are only going to see the thorns and this rough skin that you see on the pineapple, then you will never see the goodness that is inside. You will never see the... Every man has got goodness, every woman has got goodness. The problem today is that we only look at the thorns. And we say, I can't keep up with this, I can't. Well, nobody's telling you to eat the thorns. Remove the thorns that are there and see how sweet the pineapple is. So when two people get married, if you are only going to be fighting at the negative things that are in both of you, your nikah is not going to work. You will not see mawadda and rahma that Allah is going to put in your heart. But if both of you are disciplined, both of you are intelligent, and both of you understand the concept of pineapple, that if you want to eat a pineapple, what you have to do is you have to remove the thorns, and you slice it properly, and then you carefully eat it, and you will enjoy the pineapple. It's very, very sweet. So every man and a woman is like that. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah give us the tawfiq that we safeguard our private parts. Now I want to finish this topic. So inshallah, just bear with me for a few more minutes. So number one, what was it? Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un yo salah. Walladhina hum anil laghwi mu'aridun. What is it? Useless speech. I want you to remember this. Step two, useless speech. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Give, look after the money that Allah has given you, zakat and everything else. And number four, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. This has been explained. So four things for a person to enter Jannah. In total there are six things. There are six steps. How many? Six steps. All very easy. Not hard. If a man wants to do it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Then Allah says that when it comes to amanat, when it comes to trust, and when it comes to a promise, these people are very attentive. What are they? Ra'un means very careful, very attentive. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ. And those who with their amanat, with the trust they are entrusted by, and وَأَحْدِهِمْ, and the promises they make, رَاعُونَ, they are attentive and they look after it. They look after it. Subhanallah, if you see the life of Huzur alayhi salam, Nabuwat was given to him at the age of 40. The quality that Allah had shown the people of Arabia for him to win the hearts and for them to accept Islam was the same two qualities. He was Sadiqul Amin. What was he? The most truthful. So whenever he made a promise, he would always fulfill that promise. Always. And Amin means the most trustworthy. If you gave him one coin, that coin would be there. And so in Islam, these are the things. Today you will find a lot of people, they will want to look after their beard, amama, kurta, but when it comes to amanat, when it comes to trust, when it comes to promise, you know, food will be served at 7:30, you are there 7:30, food is being served at 9:30. What is it? Some people have to go, some people, you know, subhanallah, what is it? And then we make a joke, you know, Indian time. Kya kehte? What do you mean Indian time? In logo ke timing to dekhe, British time. If you go and, if you are going to travel by train, by the minutes, 8:53. 8:53. If they wanted, they could have said 8:50 or 8:55. But no, no, precise timing. They take pride in their timing. 13:42. If you don't know the timing properly, you might be wondering, what is 13:42? 13:42, from platform 2 the train will leave. 14:56, 14:59, itna precision, itna calculation. And what they, and half of the works that we do in this world is by a phone call. Allahu Akbar. Where is the amanat? Here, alhamdulillah, you know, in this country, you must say that there is something there that is available. So as Muslims, we have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Now, from the hadith, I've just taken out some snippets for you, just to understand the concept of amanat. The amanat that we understand is about money. So if somebody gives you money and says, this is £1,000, can you keep it for me? So it is our duty to look after this £1,000. It shouldn't be that, you know, he said, can you look after it for me for 6 months? No problem, I'll invest it. I will? That's what people, I will invest it. By 6 months everything will go. This is haram. What is it? Haram. Without his permission. Guna. Who told you to invest it? What guarantees you that this investment will be fruitful for you? So, sometimes it is about money. Sometimes amanat is about time. What is it? So you are working for somebody. That is amanat. And they tell you that you have to work from this time to this time. It is amanat. And there is specification that these are the things that you should try to do. But out of laziness you can do it and you're not doing it. They give you time for salah and they say, okay, 15 minutes you can go for salah. And now you are taking 25 minutes for salah. This is khiyanat. They give you time for jumu'ah for 1.5 hours or 1 hour. And then you say, you know, for 2 hours. You come, aram say, 1.5 hours. This is all amanat me khiyanat. What is it? Amanat me. Amanat is not just about money. If somebody has entrusted you with work, if somebody has put you on a responsibility, if you are working on a till, if you are working on a till, the boss is not there, and you feel, you know what, I'm going to remove every day from the till one pound, that is £30. In 1 year, how much money is that? A lot of money, by. This is haram. And you take something and the boss does not know, and this is all guna. Allah knows that everything a person needs to ask permission from, this is amanat. Subhanallah al-Azim. Very serious amanat. And Huzur alayhi salam said, the first thing that will be removed from my ummah, one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah, will be amanat. So we have to be very careful. If something belongs to somebody, we have to give it back to them. And also amanat is also about speech. So for an example, if you say to somebody that I am talking to you by, this is my amanat to you, and then you go home and speak to your wife and say, Molly Sahab was speaking to me, you know, is going through these issues, or this is happening, it's all guna. Or your friend might have said something to you. Haram, this is guna. Or if this man is talking to you, and he's talking to you in such a way that he's looking around, koi dekh to nahi raha. I want to tell you something. Now, even if he didn't say to you that this is my private conversation, but he is looking around, this will make it private. This will make it private. Oh, subhanallah, that two people are speaking and somebody is, you know, eavesdropping and is hearing and he's looking that way and wants to know what them two are saying. This is guna. To go and open somebody's email, to go and take somebody's mobile phone without his permission, to open somebody's letters, diary, You are invited at somebody's house and you open somebody's drawer, cupboard. You are a worker and you are a decorator. And you open the cupboards where you have, see, ladies' clothes are there. It is haram for you. Nobody sees that. And you are invited and you can see things which you are not supposed to see. This is all guna. Amanat has got a very, very deep meaning. Amanat is not just about money. So this is what the Quran is saying. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. How many is that? Five. And subhanallah, if you look at the Quran, Allah begins with namaz and Allah wants to end Jannatul Firdaus with namaz. And Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. One is khushu, that when you pray your namaz, your connection should be with Allah. And then Allah is saying, be regular in your salah. Be regular in your salah. So if these six steps and conditions are in a person, Allah is saying, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. They are the inheritors. And Allah is saying, what will they inherit? الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Allah will give them Jannatul Firdaus. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they will stay inside eternally. Eternally. So inshallah we can all do that. Number one, salah. Number two, useless speech. Number three, zakat. Number four, safeguard our chastity. To your best ability. To your best. Even if you can't do it, make tawbah. Try again. And also, if you promise, fulfill your promise. Otherwise, don't promise. Otherwise, don't promise. This is something today, you see, people are just promising like that and they don't even have the intention to fulfill. They don't even have the intention to fulfill. Allah's Nabi, somebody said to him that I will see you at this junction tomorrow. And Allah's Nabi was there for hours. For hours he was there. And then that man was walking by, Huzur alayhi salam says, "Arey bhai, I've been here for hours." He goes, "I completely forgot." So we have to be very careful. We should write it down. We should write it down. These are maybe small things that shaitan makes it small. But these are such lofty character that Allah had given this character to his Nabi. And only after showing people the akhlaq, they themselves said he is Sadiqul Amin. And then they started calling him from Muhammad ibn Abdullah to Muhammad Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, inshallah. 1 minute ke liye aankh ban kare, inshallah, muraqaba. And inshallah, just think that the heart is doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a reminder to the brothers, inshallah, that on a Sunday I have invited Maulana Hafiz Mumtazul Haq Sahab, who is from London. Mashallah, is traveling all the way from London to here. So we have a special program after Maghrib this Sunday. And so please, all the youth, not just the youth, but even parents, everybody can come. Inshallah, it is a very, very important program. At times you will find that things are very difficult for the Muslims in the colleges, in universities, and a lot of the filth that is thrown to the people of Iman, you know, and people are doubting a lot of things nowadays. So alhamdulillah, we are trying to tackle some of these issues. And what is the use if we have such a beautiful masjid, and we invite scholars, and if our musallis don't play their role by giving a bit of time and sacrificing and coming? So mashallah, once in a while we have these programs. So please invite others, inform others, bring the children. Everybody must come. Inshallah, the program will be after Maghrib Salah. There's no other program, only one program. It won't be very long, inshallah. But it will be very beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. کوشش کرے. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم, سمعنا واطعنا, غفرانك ربنا واليك المصير برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.